Please say welcome and thank you both, everybody here for coming and the people that we have here so far and anyone else who comes on. And Jill and I both are really excited to be here to spend some time with you and to do just something that's really dear to my heart and I know to Jill's too, which is play with a kid-like spirit and just... Have fun with writing. Lighten up with the sense of words and what that means. Really let go and open into some real authentic play. Jill and I are in the midst of some real extensive work with the topic of working with kids stuff. And this is just one piece of lots of different kinds of workshops and other offers that we're going to be putting together, which is really exciting for me personally. If you don't know me, Artella is a community for writers and artists and creative spirits. It's also a magazine and a support network of all kinds of different offerings that support creative living and really catalyze important and exciting changes in terms of igniting and sparking creativity in everyone. My work and our work with Artella dovetails so wonderfully with Jill's, which is related to the modern day muses, and she'll speak about her own self and what brought her here in just a moment. But it's just a great marriage between the Artella world and the muse world, so I'm really excited about that. Jill and I are going to be presenting pieces of some of our work that deals with writing and art and childlike living at the Artella Retreat in Connecticut this fall, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But that's something that is really exciting, and that's actually the basis of, or at least the inspiration for this gathering tonight. The last thing I'll say before I'll hand it over to Jill to say hello is just to have lots of fun tonight, really comfortable and casual atmosphere here. This is not a place to feel that there are any rules or that there's anything stuffy or serious. If you have a question, if something doesn't make sense, if you're uncomfortable with something or you just don't understand or need more help or guidance, just speak up. And likewise, if you have a thought or something you want to share, even if it's something that perhaps even feels a little uncomfortable for you, this is a time to feel really safe and excited about stepping outside of your comfort zone. So just open up to this experience here and know that it's really relaxed and casual. We're on the phone and we're not exactly in one another's presence physically, but it would be great if you can just imagine that we're all in our fuzzy pajamas or our pink nightgowns or our little bunny feet slippers, and that we're just sitting on the floor spending some great time together. You gave yourself a gift to come here tonight and spend time with all of the wonderful women here, and I acknowledge you and all of us for giving ourselves that gift. And so really, really relax and enjoy it. And just have fun, because that's what this is all about. So thanks so much for coming. And I'll just pass this over to Jill so that she can say hello.
Hi. I wanted to also see if there was anybody that came in and didn't introduce yourself yet.
Oh, yeah. Adela's here.
Adela, hi.
Hey, Adela.
Hi. Hi, Adela. It's Lonnie also.
Hi, Lonnie.
Oh, hi, Lonnie.
Anyone else?
Anybody else? Okay. Well, how I got into this is last year Marnie asked me to come and do the keynote at the Artella Retreat, and some of you were there, and one of my new muses, one of the upgraded muses is called Be Silly, and she's all about the kid and all about using our childlike spirit to inspire creativity. And what was very cool is it seemed like there was just a bunch of kids at the retreat last year, and talking about the childlike muse even opened people up more to their kid, and there was just a lot of you know, if there was like an aerial view of what happened, it would seem like a lot of kids just running from room to room, making things and cheering them and getting excited. And it's just going to be wild this year to have even the theme about it and have this the muses and the kids and Sark all come together. So one of the things Marnie and I did after the retreat was we did a, and some of you might have been on it, we did a first teleconference that was based on the kid, and after the call we both just spiraled into an enormous number of ideas about how the kid-like spirit can bring us back to our creativity. And so we decided to put together a book about it, and some of that's going to be presented at the retreat. And we're going to do two of the exercises that we've come up with here this evening, and I'm just going to say hello right now and then get back to you later about a little bit about the intuition and imagination that can come from the childlike spirit. So I welcome you, and I'm going to turn it back to Marnie so we can get some juicy stuff going.
Great. Is there anyone else who's joined us who hasn't said hello yet? Okay, well, let's rock and roll. Does everybody have paper and some crayons or markers or something fun to write with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So here's what I'm going to do. As Jill said, this is just, I'm going to be presenting one exercise and Jill's going to be presenting one. So the first thing I'm going to do is actually just have you answer some questions real fast, just a few, just to get you thinking about a few things. And then we're going to actually transition to do some writing from a childlike mindset. And for that, I'm going to be suggesting that you either or, you can even go back and forth a little bit, that you either write with your non-dominant hand, although if we were in person, that's what I'd want you to do. Although I know with the phone, it can be a little difficult to maneuver all of that. And so if that's not working for you to write with your non-dominant hand, another option is to take your writing instrument, a marker or whatever it is, and then put it in your fist with the point facing straight down so that you can, you know, write with a fist like a child would before she learns how to, quote, correctly hold a pen or pencil. So is that any questions about that? Okay. So when I ask you to write in your childlike way with your non-dominant hand or with your fist, that's what I'm saying. So first I'm just going to ask some questions and just invite you to just let it rip. So the first thing I'd like you to answer is to think about and just write, when did you first learn how to write physically? And this could be something that you remember, that you actually remember learning how to write, or maybe somebody told you, oh, you couldn't hold a pencil until you were 7 years old, or somebody told you you were really writing early, or even if it's just a guess, just think about how old you were when you first learned how to write, and any other thoughts that go along with that. Next, where did you live when you were that age? What is the earliest memory you have of writing? This could be at that age or it could be much later. But what is a specific memory that you can recall, your earliest memory of somehow writing, using a pencil, using a pen? And any other memories associated with that memory? Anything you can remember feeling or just anything that comes up when you think about trying to put a thought connected to when you first began learning how to write. Now, think of the home, the place that you lived at the age when you think or you know or someone has told you when you first learned how to write. And write down any memory you have of writing in that home. And if you don't have a specific memory of that home, of writing at that age, then just place yourself in some room or some location in that home and just imagine where you could have written, at the breakfast table, on the floor, on the hardwood floor in the den. Just jot that down. We're just getting some details about the time when you first learned how to write. It's very new to hold a pencil in your hand. And all that's really important before we progress is for you to know, one, whatever time you're looking at, to have a specific idea of how old you were and where you lived at that time. And again, if this is all just basically a guess, that works just as well. Nothing's lost. So now what I'd like you to do is change to what I said earlier, either your non-dominant hand, if you can do it with the phone.
I've been doing all these with that.
You have? Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it's very hard. It's hard to go so fast.
I know. Well, here I am just having you do some pre-writing. My apologies if I didn't clarify that. My apologies. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, now we're officially switching to your non-dominant hand, and you'll have more time now. Less esoterical questions. Is that Donna?
Yeah. Recognize the tackle, huh?
Yes. All right, so now we're going to officially switch to your non-dominant hand or using a crayon or a marker with a fist straight down. Remember, you can be as big and loopy with your letters as you want because hopefully you brought lots of paper. Okay, so get comfortable with that writing instrument. I encourage you to use color or actually whatever your child at that age wants to use. We're that age that we've just sort of made a preliminary dive into. So, you are that age. That is you. Think about your room right now. Your room right now at that age as a child. It's okay if you don't remember the exact room from the exact time, but some specific bedroom. And I'll just clarify, say that you've guessed or that you're assuming that you first learned how to write when you were 6, but you don't really remember a bedroom until you were 8, that's okay. Just remember your 8-year-old bedroom, but put your 6-year-old self there. Using your non-dominant hand or writing with your hand in a fist, just make a list in a single file column, leave yourself plenty of space, a list of what you see as you look around the room. Five or six objects. If some of this feels more like guessing than remembering, that's totally, totally fine. It's all sort of the same anyway. One of the beautiful parts of kids' writing is that there's all this overlap between imagination and thoughts. And stories can go back and forth between being autobiographical and then being fantastical, and it just is all okay because there are no rules. So just open yourself up. There's no right way to do anything. Is there anyone who needs more time with your list? Okay. Go to the first thing in your list. For each, and this is with your hand in a fist or your non-dominant hand. For the first one, take that thing in the list and then complete this. This object feels like, and just complete that sentence. The teddy bear feels like, the pink wallpaper feels like. At any time during these prompts, you may feel like adding some hieroglyphics, little kid doodles. Sometimes little kids draw more with pictures than with words. Allow yourself to sound words out, not make them be spelled right. Remember, you're this age that you determined was when you first learned how to write. Play around with no spaces in between words, letters backwards, going on squiggly lines. Just let it go. Okay. The next item that's in your room, that item smells like... And now go to the third item on your list. That item in your room. This item makes me wish I. This object makes me wish I. Don't think. Write whatever comes first. No thinking, just writing. If your penmanship is really small, it's probably not your child's. Feel free to be bigger, bigger arm movements, bigger space. Now, the next item that you see in your room. When this object spies on me, it sees. When this object spies on me, it sees. And then a sixth item in your room. When nobody is looking, this object is. When nobody is looking, this object is. Our next set of prompts is actually you writing about you, not about objects around you, but about you. Put yourself right there at whatever age you are, 4, 5, 6, 7, right in the first person, and whatever you can sense about how you wrote, how physically you moved when you wrote. When you were first learning how to write, not when you were a well-seasoned fourth grader, when you were first learning how to put pen to paper, try to feel that in your body. As I said before, play around with no spaces between words or just sounding things out. Not mechanically, not being strategic about it, but just let yourself go with that experience. Just some prompts to complete these sentences. My name is... I love... My favorite person is... I don't understand... I believe when I grow up, I want to. If I had three wishes, they would be, real quick, blank, blank, and blank. The world is... I am loved by... And taking that momentum that you've got, now that you're writing, you are your kid, that's you. Get a new piece of paper, and you're going to write a letter. You're going to write a letter to yourself as a grown-up. So mine would be, Dear Miss Marty, Marty is a grown-up, whatever that wants to be. And just write a letter. Now you've been writing about what you love and what the world is and what you want to be when you grow up. What's your love letter? What secret do you want to tell that grown-up you? You may want to start it that way. Like, Dear Miss Marnie, I have a secret. The secret is... What does your kid want to tell? What does your kid want to tell her future self, your grown-up self? Add some pictures, add some doodles to your letter in the margins at the bottom. Keep writing a little more. Can bring it to a close, and again, don't worry if it's mid-sentence or mid-thought, it doesn't matter, but sign it with lots of hugs and kisses or hearts or stars or however you want to sign it. with lots of affection and love, kid-like love. We'll close the letter.
No.
You don't want to close the letter?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was saying no to the cat who was trying, the kitten who was trying to throw all the crayons on the floor.
Oh, I see.
To roll stuff around.
Very kid-like cat. Awesome. So what I'd like to do now is... I just wanted to take just a couple of minutes to just share what it was like to write with your non-dominant hand or answer the prompts or write with your fist. And while this experience is still fresh, if you have anything about it specifically that you want to remember or perhaps something you want to explore later, you know, feel free to just make a note of that as well, because we did move through it kind of rapidly. Anybody want to share anything about what we've just done these past few minutes?
Well, this is Patty, and it's very hard to write with your non-dominant hand.
Yes.
I'm a perfectionist, so, and I was as a small child, too. So it's really hard without those little lines that they had.
Yeah. When you had that experience of feeling frustrated because it was hard, what did you do with that?
I just kept going.
Good.
I just kept going. I put on here, as a child, I tried very hard to be perfect.
Yes.
But I just kept writing. It's pretty messy.
It's probably really important to have that messy writing around you.
Well, if you saw my studio, anything messy is really important around me.
Good. Thanks, Patty. Anybody else want to share anything?
This is Adela, and I have a question.
Yes.
Because all of you are much younger than me, did you guys learn to write with the idea that it was for putting down thoughts? Because I learned in a total disconnect to copy letters. It never occurred to me to write this minute that you were learning so that you could put down things you wanted to think, or that you were thinking.
Good point.
Yeah.
So I learned letters.
Letters.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I was a lot older before I realized you could write down things just because you wanted to remember them for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Meaning most of you had the same thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Gee, that was dumb.
No!
Although pretty early on I figured out after I learned to write that I wanted to write to my cousin who lived far away from me. So I don't know where I got that idea, but, you know, I did. That seemed like a cool way to use this new talent I had gained.
For me it was physically painful. My fingers used to cramp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a dent in mine.
Mm. Very interesting to think back to that time, and perhaps the part of the beauty of being creative people now is that we can merge that time and realities of that time with giving ourselves permission things to do then that we didn't have then, to still have that awkwardness of writing and that sort of newness, that uncensoredness, and that sort of beautiful chaos of messy handwriting, even if it wasn't something that we were allowed to have or allowed ourselves to have as a child. Merging, giving that permission that only comes from experiencing something and knowing what would have been better later.
And Marty, this is Donna. I was taught by very strict nuns. So it wasn't allowed to be messy.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So I really enjoy giving myself that freedom.
Yeah.
If it was messy, you had to do it over again.
If it was messy,
and again,
you had to
and
go,
again.
Did you ever go and scribble in secret?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
No,
so
writing
was something strictly at school.
I had a strict mother along with a strict mother.
Gotcha.
I had to go to the blackboard to, a lot of us went to put the answers to little addition problems in first grade, and I wrote my number very large. And the teacher said, "Who wrote that large number?"
Oh, my God.
I didn't do it again.
Who is that speaking?
Minnie.
Oh, Minnie. Minnie with the large numbers. Goodness gracious.
Ooh.
I have this sense that you just need to go and, you know, paint huge numbers on your walls or something in rebellion.
Big numbers.
Well, this was just a little touch on the surface of sort of experimenting with the actual mechanics of writing. And when you look at the idea of writing from a child's point of view or embracing the child whimsy and wisdom and simplicity and complexity, which is what Jill and I are going to be doing at the retreat, there are so many different aspects to cover, and just one of them is the mechanics of it. And as a couple of you have said, you know, it was hard and painful and physically uncomfortable. A little part of my history is that I wanted very much to write stories from before I knew how to write, and I would try, and it was too hard for me to do mechanically, and so I was really lucky to have a dad who had a great idea, which is to get me an old typewriter that wasn't being used at the university where he taught, so I could just press the letters, which was easier for me instead of using a pen and pencil, you know, instead of trying to get the mechanics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that was a real great solution to a very frustrating problem. So, but the mechanics. I'm sorry?
Did you put the spaces in?
No.
Between letters?
No. And that's the funny thing. And my mom has boxes of these pages of just, they're just letters. I mean, there's no spaces and there's no vowels. It's just sounding out. And she's kept them all. And she can kind of read them. And I guess it was last summer and going through and she was trying to read one of them. And there was one that was really, really, really long. It was like a whole page. And it was just, you know, it looks just like gibberish. And she saw at the top, she was like, "Oh, I know that one. That's the death of Santa Claus." I was like, "Oh my God, that explains an awful lot."
How did she know?
First of all, she remembered it, but she could, like, it said, you know, it was like the death of Santa Claus, just without any spaces, you know. But she used to read them all. She could totally translate the language as back then. And that's what I couldn't believe, is after all these years, she could still figure it out. Anyway. Mechanics of writing or the memory, mechanics as a memory tool for writing is just one aspect of such a great vast territory. And what I think is really going to be exciting about this retreat in October in everything presented, not just Jill and I's workshop, which is one of many, but it's this wonderful sense of contrast in childlike wisdom, which you have a playful and whimsical energy, but also a very wise and still energy in terms of being able to think and act and live in a very elevated place that is a conduit to much wisdom. And so I see this as being a really fun and wild and crazy weekend, but also one that's very deep spiritually and really allows us all, wherever we are in terms of our relationship to connecting with our wild child, allows us all to bring ourselves even closer to a new area of depth, to marry what is between our childhoods and now. And so that's the overall vision for the weekend, and just really, really exciting, all of the pieces that are coming together to make that come. Any questions or comments before I hand this over to my buddy Jill? Questions or comments?
What if you didn't like being a kid?
What if you didn't like being a kid? Well, then this is a time. What did you say?
I said, this is Jill. I was going to kind of address that.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
So that's a great transition. Does anybody else have any questions, or can I just transition into my exercise?
Transition into what? Transition, baby.
Yeah. Okay, I'm transitioning. So this is Jill, and that was a great question, Adela. What I often do in my workshops is try to get people back to their childlike place. Not everybody had a great childhood, so that's not comfortable for everybody. So what you get to do, and that's one of my techniques, is just saying, you know, we get to do another writing exercise here, but what you get to do with imagination and intuition is you get to invent a positive childhood. And you get to invent yourself again as a child. So if you didn't like how you had your own childhood or you didn't like who you were as a kid, you get to, I love that bumper sticker that says it's never too late to have a happy childhood.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like that.
Because we still have the childlike qualities we were born with, and we can use those. And the different kind of perspective I'm coming from, and when Marnie and I were planning this, we decided to come from two different angles, is we're going to now kind of use our childlike qualities to do some creative writing. So rather than writing from being a child or about being a child, we're going to write, but use the openness. When I think about being a kid and the whole creative process, kids are just naturally creative because they feel free. They don't have all those adult kind of restrictions and judgments and things that we've gotten from teachers and parents. They just feel free, and they love everything that they do. They show it off. They go, look what I did. You know, no matter how it looks or sounds, they have a lightness, and it's all about play. There's a lot of play that goes on in childhood. And in creativity, there's a lot of play that goes on. In fact, when you get too serious about the process, you squash it and you stifle it and you choke it. So you want to be able to play again as an adult. And there's two processes that come into effect oftentimes in the creative process that we're going to play with right now. And one of them is intuition and the other one is imagination. And imagination is alive when you're a kid. We go out and we pretend we're princesses and horses and whatever, magicians, and it just comes really easily. And imagination is such a powerful part of being a human because we can go beyond what is in existence. That's why Albert Einstein said that imagination is more important than knowledge, because knowledge is about what is, but imagination is about what can be. It's about possibility. It's about going beyond reality and bringing new things into existence. And the other thing is intuition. And intuition is about knowing. It's a perception. It's an insight. It's a wisdom. It is something that's already there for us. It very much guides us and directs us when we trust it in the creative process. So as you can imagine, having imagination and intuition play with each other, you come from a very powerful place because you're coming from a place of your knowledge and your wisdom and who you are truly as an authentic being, and then you're playing with it and going beyond the limitations of reality and inventing new things and having the freedom to do that. So I'm going to access both imagination and intuition with a little guided imagery. And Marnie, I think, sent out an email that invited you to bring a stuffed animal or a toy, and that's just a reminder. We might do something with that or we might not, but if it's there with you, it's just a reminder that you are still childlike and that these childlike qualities you have serve you in a wonderful way. So get comfortable in your chair if you're not already comfortable. Bring yourself back to the body and just make any kind of rearrangements that you need to get that body comfortable. And take a deep breath in and exhale everything you don't need right now. And allow the shoulders to melt. And imagine this beautiful breeze just washing over you and relaxing every part of your body that it touches. And imagine this reservoir of creativity inside of you beginning to open more and more, relaxing the body and opening to it. And effortlessly breathing. And as a child, we lower our expectations. We don't have high expectations. So there's a new kind of freedom. So begin to lower expectations about what you have to do when you write. And allow and permit the child to come through. So as you return to your imagination, that place you've been to hundreds of times, in dreams, in symbols, in making things up, just imagine this door opening to that place of your imagination and peek inside like a little child. And see words and forms and colors dancing. You might see all different kinds of words just walking by. You might see giant numbers. Begin to open the door a little bit more. And as a child, go in there and dance with your imagination. Feel a sense of new freedom, a lightness. Allow an inner smile to run through you. Reinvent yourself as a new child. Feel a childlike expression on your face. See yourself from an aerial view as this bright and shining child. Now pick up your pencil or your pen, find a piece of paper, and we're going to be writing down a few words, and then we're going to share those words with the group and then build something. So this is like a scavenger hunt. So what I want you to do is imagine that right now there's a bird and it's delivering this word to you. And write that word down. Just the first word that comes to mind, like mine was tremble. It can be a favorite word. It can be a random word. If you love words, allow yourself to pick one. Now imagine yourself in a big room and go over and open the drawer, and there's a word in the drawer. It's a noun. It can be a noun that says street light or doorknob or fish. But write that noun down. Not thinking too hard. Now run to the front door. Somebody is delivering a verb to you. And know that verbs are more than just run and jump. A verb can be conspire, duplicate, cherish. It's something you do. So run to the front door like a little kid, and somebody is giving you a word that's a verb. So write it down. And then while the door is open, notice there's a tree outside, and it's full of words. They're all adjectives. So go up and pick one of those adjectives. An adjective is a word that you can put very in front of, very green, very gushy. So we have words now on your piece of paper. This is an exercise I do at the beginning of the writing class I do weekly, and it's called Word Pool. And I've never done it on the phone, so I was trying to think of a way that this would work on the phone. And what we do is we all contribute words to this pool, P-O-O-L. And so everybody writes everybody's word down. So because we can't go around in a circle and I can't point to you, I thought we'd go by month because this is kind of a game because we're kids here. So anybody born in January? Anybody born in February?
Yep.
Give us your words. Give us three of your words. Just pick three of them. And everybody write this. Who is this person?
A Minnie.
Minnie. Let's all write Minnie's words down. Go ahead.
Playmate.
Playmate.
Wallow.
Wallow.
Monstrous.
And monstrous. Excellent. Anybody born in March? April. May. June. Minnie, you're the only one on the phone.
I'm the only one born.
July? Any Julys?
If you're on mute, if you put yourself on mute, you can press 4 to come back if you're lost in mute world.
Let's put mute down as a word.
Good.
So everybody put mute down. Anybody that was born in one of the earlier months that was trying to speak but they were mute? Okay, I was born in July, so let's put conspire down.
Conspire?
Conspire. Embellish. And purple. Okay, anybody in August?
This is Marnie. I am in August.
Okay.
I also had purple, but I won't say that. I'll say pudgy and sunflower and wish.
Pudgy, sunflower, and wish.
Yes.
Pudgy, not pudgy.
And you can give any meaning you want to any of these words and use any of their different forms. Okay, anybody else in August? September?
I'm in September.
Okay, who's that?
Michelle.
Three words?
Castle, chase, slimy.
Castle, chase, and slimy. Okay.
I'm in September.
Okay.
Patty.
Patty.
Honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey. And warm.
Honesty, monkey, and warm. Okay, October.
I'm in October. I'm Karen.
Okay.
Indulgent.
Okay.
Wildflower. Articulate.
Indulgent, wildflower, and articulate. Okay. October. Anybody else? November?
That's me, Donna.
Okay.
And I had enchanting.
Enchanting.
Princess.
Princess.
And dazzling.
And dazzling. Okay. Anybody else in November? December.
I'm in December.
Okay. Three words.
Wait.
Wait.
Fish.
Fish.
Sparkly.
Sparkly. Okay. Anybody else have three words?
I'm in December.
Okay.
Dynamic.
That?
Sylvia.
Okay. Dynamic.
Dynamic. Hijack.
Hijack.
And mail. M-A-I-L.
M-A-I-L. Okay, good.
What was the spelling on wait? W-E-I-G-H-T or W-A-I-T?
Who did wait?
Adela.
Wait. W-A-I-T.
Okay.
like you're waiting for something.
Okay. So now take these words, and they give you a start. You can use as many other words as you want to. You don't have to use all of these words, but you might notice that they want to combine in a certain way. So now take these words, and you can write poetry, you can write prose. It doesn't have to make sense. It can be one long, endless sentence. Add words, but just begin to play with these words and see what they want to be for you. So we're just going to take about 5 minutes to do that. Take about another minute. So did that make it easier for you to put something together?
Mm-hmm.
Was that fun?
Yeah.
This is a good way to do a warm-up when you're writing. And you can do it also just by opening a book and picking various words out of the book, picking up a dictionary. A neat way to do it is to go to an art review site or a music review site and just pick out phrases, because there's usually really rich phrases when people review music and art, just the adjectives and the nouns together. So does anybody want to share what they wrote? And as a child, we're uninhibited, and we want to share. We get to share. So allow yourself to breathe in this place of childlike audacity to share your piece.
Minnie here?
Who?
Minnie?
Minnie, go ahead.
A princess went fishing, but found dazzling wildflowers instead. So nice to embellish the castle, she said.
Beautiful. So after people share, everybody together, we go, way cool.
Way cool.
Who else would like to share?
I'll go.
Okay, who's that?
This is Michelle.
Michelle.
A playmate conspired against me, put me in a castle and made me wait until the sky turned purple and embellished the stars with sparkly fish. The monkey under the bed hijacked the warm sunflower, laughed with indulgence so enchanting it turned into a princess that stole my pillow. Honest, it did.
way cool.
That was beautiful. Who else?
I'll read mine. The pudgy playmate and the enchanting princess often chase the slimy monkey around the dazzling castle while they wait a dynamic and sparkly purple fish swims through the warm river surrounded by wildflowers and sunflowers.
Way cool. Beautiful.
This is Sylvia.
Go ahead, Sylvia.
I wait a while and peer outside the castle. The pudgy princess wallows with her enchanting playmate and the dazzling sun on the warm but monstrous lawn. They are mute but conspire to chase the monkey through the dazzling sunflowers to go check the mail.
Cool. Who else?
Donna.
Go ahead, Donna.
Okay. The pudgy sunflower was monstrous but dazzling. The purple princess wished to be its sparkly playmate. The indulgent wildflower articulated to the enchanting monkey that it wished to fish for slimy, dynamic male.
Good one.
Way cool.
Anybody else?
This is Patty.
Go, Patty.
Honesty, she said, is as dazzling as a purple sunflower. The sparkling, slimy fish wished to be a playmate to the enchanting princess.
Way cool. Neat. So if anybody didn't share, I encourage you to put this away and come back to it in a few days, because one of the things that happens when we write is sometimes we don't like it at the moment, but you come back to it and you go, hey, that's not so bad. In fact, that's pretty good. So we're coming to the end of our hour here, but these are the kind of things that we want to be able to do, is to open up to the childlike flavors of life and allow those things that the child gifted us with to free our creativity a little bit more. We hope to do that during the retreat. How many people here are going to the retreat?
I am.
I hope to.
I know Patty is. Who else? And Donna. Yeah. I know Patty and Donna are. Who else was speaking?
Karen,
great.
And Sylvia.
Good. Oh, and Adela is going to be there, too.
Yeah. Well, great.
Can't wait.
And just one more plug for me, a shameless self-promotion. It's my Muse site. My website is The Muse Is In, and I put out a monthly Muse letter, so if anybody is not on my list and would like to get these kind of, I do put these kind of prompts and stuff in my Muse letter. My email address is jillbodonsky@hotmail.com, or you can find me through Marnie. So, Marnie, any last words from you?
Well, I wanted to also say we have a brand new thing that actually is just active on the Artella website today. There's a new section called Ask Us, and if you go all the way down toward the bottom, actually, I think it's actually the very bottom of the navigation bar on any Artella page, it says Ask Us, and it's a page where for submitting questions and reading archives of questions for both me and for Jill. I had an Ask the Editor page where people could submit questions for me that I published in eArtella, and then we had an Ask the Muses page from Jill in our reading room, and then we decided that now that we're doing a bunch of partnering, co-creating work, that we'd put them all together. So if you have a question for the Muses via Jill or anything that I may be able to help with, we're going to have those answers published on the website. And the reason I'm mentioning it not only is that it's brand new, some of you may know about the blog jog sales on Artella's blog. If you go to the Artella homepage, there's a link in the yellow box, and it's the Artella news blog. And every time I post news, which is usually every other day or so, when I post new updates to the website, I hide a little sneaky sale or sneaky special. And so if you're in the habit of checking every day, you get cool stuff. but anyway, in the next couple of days when I announce the new Ask Us page, I'm going to have a little sneaky special for anybody who submits a question to me or Jill. So you want to look at that because it's going to be good. So that's another way to get in touch with both Jill and I. I just wanted to take a quick second here if you need to
certainly go. I certainly understand, but I just wanted to see if anybody who was considering the retreat had any questions for me or questions for Jill, since she was there last year, as was Adela. Just wanted to open that up since you have us live and in person. Okay, no problem. If you do have any questions, you can certainly ask me, or there's a on the retreat page, there is a link to join the Yahoo group. We're just starting to talk and connect about the details. But it's going to be so fantastic. We're so excited. And if you're not able...
Marnie?
Yes.
This is Sylvia. I do have a question.
Yes, yes.
You said Sark was going to be there and that you and Jill are teaching some workshops. Exactly when and how is that going to work?
Well,
a little more about it?
Yeah, it's actually the schedule is such that you can really personalize it and customize it. And the full schedule is on the website, but to give you an idea, for example, we come together Thursday for dinner, and then we're going to have some fun opening games on Thursday night. But for example, on Friday, the first workshop of the day is something that Jill is doing. And then after lunch, you have a choice between two workshops. And then after dinner, we're going to have a wonderful event. It's a 3-hour time slot where anybody who's participating will have the opportunity to actually present something themselves, to share something of themselves, whether it's a mini workshop or something they do one-on-one or offering tax advice or being a good listener or singing a song or making a beaded bracelet with a group of people. The predominant thing that I came away with last year was, oh my God, every person here could have led a workshop. And so this was a way, I'm calling it share and tell, and we're going to get, it's completely optional, but we're going to put together a schedule so that, you know, we can kind of set up like centers and kindergartens. So you can kind of go around to the different offers. So that's Friday night. Saturday, we're going to start, and actually before breakfast, both of these days are going to be these really wonderful healing and meditation sessions that my sister is actually going to be leading. She's a wonderful healer and meditation guide and going to have this combination between, you know, partner healing and yoga, and so those are going to be before breakfast every morning. Saturday morning, Lana, my sister, will do another one before breakfast, and then after breakfast, we're going to have a movement session with Jill, and then a morning workshop where it's a workshop of your choice, and then lunch, and then an afternoon workshop that it's of your choice, and then after dinner is when Sark's going to be doing her feature workshop. So there are 6 workshops that you get to choose, you choose 3 of the 6. And at each one of those slots, there's some kind of art workshop, either technique or experience, and then something that is integrated using kid-like energy, but in another way. One of those is going to be Jill and my writing class. Another one is going to be led by Jamie Adcock, who is a professional in fashion and style, and she's actually bringing childlike energy to reclaiming the things, not just about fashion, but just everything about your personal style, the things that you loved as a kid, and how can you get more of that into your life now, making paper dolls and dressing them and fun stuff like that. And I'm doing a business plan class, but business plans for little kids. So you get to choose of those workshops. Sunday morning, we're having a birthday party because we have lots of different birthdays. People are coming who have birthdays in October, and Artella's birthday is actually that day on the 9th. Artella will be 3 years old, which is wonderful. And then as Jill will tell you from last year, just lots of games and prizes and giveaways galore, and just all kinds of great, great spontaneous stuff was happening last year where, you know, there was break time. This year we're calling it recess time, but people are, you know, conspiring together to say, oh, you know, let's get together and do this or that or the other. And so there's some schedule in there. What did I forget? Oh, there's a labyrinth. There's one of New England's oldest labyrinths, outdoor labyrinths, and we're having a wonderful woman lead a labyrinth walk on Sunday morning as well. So lots of scheduled stuff, but also lots of flexible time to kind of do as you wish. So does that answer your question, Sylvia?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
If we don't know anybody that's going, but we would like to do one of the shared rooms, for the shared room price?
Yes.
Is there going to be a way set up so that we could find somebody else that wants to?
Absolutely.
Share?
What I did last year is I, on the questionnaire when you sign up, if you have a shared room, it says, do you have someone in mind or do you want us to pair you with someone wonderful? So,
oh, okay.
And what I did last year is I just sort of used intuition to pair people that I thought would be great, and it was like all of these incredible synchronicities happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
It seemed like every pairing was just perfect, and people would say to me, you know, how did you know to pair us? And I didn't even know. So if you want to do the shared room price, we'll take care of finding you a wonderful shared person. And, you know, so that's no problem at all. You don't have to find your own roommate.
Okay.
Jill, was there anything else you wanted to add about the retreat or anything to add to anything I said?
If you go to one retreat this year, go to this one. It exceeded my wildest expectations last year. And you just, people's jaws were just dropped the entire time because there was just
so
much. Don't you agree, Adela?
Well, I would say if you can't stand going to retreats, go to this one.
Yeah, it's true. This is I've been to a lot of retreats, and this is by far, there's not even one that's close to this one. It's the next one, has the second one in line, so.
Well, I'll tell you, I avoid retreats like the plague. And the only reason that I went, Marty may know this, was that since I live so close, it was too embarrassing not to.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's hilarious.
Really, I would have felt like such a schmuck, you know, after all we had done this, that, and the other, then to say, yeah, I wanna.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
When I was 40 minutes away.
That's
and
the funniest
meeting
thing.
People in person is so much fun, so I hope everybody here can make it.
Well, and last year there was a really nice mix. I mean, there were a lot of people who were really involved in Artella who knew each other on the phone or here or there. But there were also people who were really brand new to it all. And this year's going to be even more so like that because they're going to be people who were together last year seeing each other. But, I mean, when I look at how many people have registered, there's such a great mix between, you know, people who were there last year and new people. It's just going to be perfect. So
this year, thanks to the group, to the web, we're not going to be strangers by the time we get together.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks to the Yahoo group, which we didn't really have.
No. Yeah, no, that Yahoo group is going to be real great, and it just, you know, it's. There are so many surprises and secrets and fun stuff in store. It's just too much. I can't even sleep. I get too excited about it.
Well, it's still 10 weeks away.
I know.
You know, how are we going to absolutely stand waiting?
I know.
But do anything you have to do. I mean, send your child.
Sometimes that's too tempting.
I don't think I'll put that in the, you know, in writing, Adela.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for listening to that. And if you have any questions, you know, ask me or Jill or the Yahoo group. Obviously,
Dead
and Zero.
Rent your child. Okay, don't sell them.
Yes, there you go. Thank you guys for coming tonight and
thank
just for playing with us for a little while. It was really fun and would love to do more with you. The last thing I'll say is even if you can't or not able to come to the retreat, coming this fall, Jill and I are going to have a whole line of different kid-like teleclasses. Really, really inexpensively priced. So they're really accessible to everyone. And on a regular basis that you can kind of build some momentum with your kid-like work. So that's going to be coming no matter what. And we'll, you know, definitely keep you in touch about that.
And
yay.
Other things.
And other things, exactly.
And other things.
Well, take care,
coming,
everyone.
Everybody.
Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Talking with you all.